His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to die. He forgave. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Just because He lives, sing that chorus once again. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'll see y'all next year. Had to say it before Sam said it, because, you know, he's a little quips he says. Anybody have any praises this morning? Finish up the year?
Thank you all for praying for my great niece, Eliana. I know it's been a long time. Ray talked to her dad this week, and he said she's not fully recovered by any means, but she is seeing some improvements. So we're really thankful for that, and amen. Hopefully it continues to work. Good.
I'm just giving an update about my grandson, Caleb. He went to stay with his mamaw, where he has much more freedom to walk around and stuff, and he finally has laid flat on his back. So if you know what rods is like, having them down your back, it's very hard to lay flat. So he's able to do that now.
Just wanted to offer up just a praise to the Lord, the way He takes just kind of the things that we offer up to Him. We listen to Him, and we move forward, and just to see how He puts His finishing touches and how He's in things. You know, it's not even a finishing touch. I think about even this morning and the things that I thought I was going to say, and then the Lord just gave me, just when I was leaving the Sunday school class, He's kind of said, I'd rather you talk from Colossians 3, and to point that one out, whereas before I was just going to focus on Romans 12. And then I saw that our reading that we had up there was Colossians 3, and I said, oh, okay, Lord. But isn't that good to know that God goes before us, and when we wait and listen, He leads us and guides us, and it's to His glory. So I just thank God that He is with us.
Amen. I'd just like to thank the choir, came over with carols at Christmas time, and it helped me get through it. It's a rough time, and I've got a prayer request for my stepson. He's got a drug problem, and he really needs to have prayer for him. His name is Scott Partlow, and I thank you all very much for everything. Amen.
Need to pray for Bob Harder as well. Went and saw him yesterday. He's seems to be doing okay, but hopefully he's, you know, not getting depressed being in the hospital bed there. But he was eating part of a cheeseburger. We talked about some of the football game, of course. And no, it wasn't bad. It was good, actually. Because I was saying I think it was the coach's issue that he didn't play some of those second and third string guys before that game instead of throwing a freshman in there. And then people yell at the freshman because he didn't do a good job. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we, in the Christian faith? You know, we don't pray, we don't talk to God, and then all of a sudden the big game comes up and we wonder why God didn't hear me, why didn't this happen, why didn't that happen, why couldn't I handle that? Because we didn't get in the game sooner. Yeah. So we need to be in the game every day, practicing, you know, prayer, practicing praising God, practicing talking about him to other people, and those kind of things. So when that moment comes up and when somebody asks, you know, why do you believe what you believe? How do you know God's real? You can say this is why, because you've lived it, you've practiced it, you've read about it, and those kind of things. So, you know, sometimes we blame other people, and sometimes it's us that don't do what we're supposed to do. So we need to pray for Roxanne was in the ER. I heard she was throwing up, so they're not sure what all she has, but pray for her. Pray for Everett. He's had some health issues as well, so we need to pray for that this morning.
I just wanted to mention about my sister-in-law, Bobby Sue, my brother's wife, and how she's in rehab right now. She's trying to learn to walk again, you know. So it's been a long time. It's probably been about a month now, I think, trying to get a physical therapy and occupational therapy and that. And also a neighbor of ours had mentioned about her daughter, Jessie. I think she's in her 30, 40 range, somewhere down there. But anyways, she's having trouble breathing. I don't know what they call it, COPD or something like that. But she's wanting to go into pulmonary to try to help this. In that. So the mother's concerned. She asked for prayer.
Last night, me and five other friends, well, I guess I call Carol a friend. She was there with me. We got to go to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and on our way out, our friend Barb Hockenberry, which most of you know from Bible studies or the women's retreats, she fell in the parking lot on the speed bump, and it knocked her unconscious. So the squad took her. Long story short, a woman appeared out of nowhere and knew how to take care of her. No eyes were dilated. She was out. And somehow nothing is broken. She has 6 stitches. She's home. She said she can't look in the mirror today because it's not her friend, because she fell directly on her cheek and her forehead. But nothing's broken, and she's fine.
Probably other requests, but just remember the ones we mentioned. If I don't say them all, you'll pray for them through the week. We know there's probably other ones as well, but let's pray. Father, thanks for bringing us here again today. Thanks for this year that we made it through this year. With all the ups and downs, the sicknesses, and all the things that have happened. People have gone home, and for those who are recovering from surgeries and those who are still having issues, looking towards this new year, wondering what's going to happen. We have an election coming up. We have a government, Lord, that's in disarray. We have wars happening all over the place, but we have you here with us, right next to us, guiding us, directing us, helping us, protecting us. Even in this case that Heather shared about this morning where Barb fell and hit her face, and she's up and walking around, and there's no damage besides the stitches and maybe a bruise or two, but we just thank you for that as well, and for Terry's stepson, Scott, be with him as well on this addiction that he has to be able to get over that. Others, Lord, that are sick, we think of Bob Harder and the recovery there, and I think of Lois Proper, we think of the Shea family, had a loss there, and there's just so many different things we could just keep going on, but you know what those are, and just bring them to our minds this week, Lord, as we have time and take time to pray, talk to you, help us to be faithful to reading your word, to listening to your word, whatever it may be, to praying and to depending upon you, that is a conversation that we have daily, that it's not like it's something new when something happens, but we've already been talking to you, so be with us, Lord, in the music this morning, be with us in your word, be with the services that have happened, that are happening now, and that are going to happen, that your word may go out to others, that people may come to you and be drawn to you. We know that when 9/11 happened, the churches were full, people came back to you, and then now that that's gone away, people are kind of drifting off again. So I just pray for people to be committed back to you, and we just ask this in your name. Amen.
I will trust you. Trust wherever you lead, I will follow. Open the door, I'll walk through. You have a plan greater than my heart can understand. Over and over, your love has been true. I will trust you. I have followed my heart down a road where no peace could be found. I have looked to the world for its wisdom, and I've been let down. But you alone can lead me into life and everything good. And Lord, when you direct my path, I will not fear whatever life may bring. For I will trust you. I will trust you. Wherever you I will follow, open the door, I'll walk through. You have a plan greater than my heart can understand. Over and over, your love has been true, and I will trust you.
You ever wish you had a photographic memory? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, right? Some pictures you don't want to keep in your mind. But for messages, I wish I did, so I'd have all the stuff in my mind memorized. You'll see me up here reading things sometimes. Like, why is he reading that? Because I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget what I have down because I think it's important. And how many times have you heard the end of the world predicted? This is the end of the world. You know, drink the Kool-Aid, whatever it is that they're doing to try to, you know, get to the end. But I looked up some things about some predictions about the end of the world that I hadn't heard of, but maybe you have. Taiwanese religious leader Han Ming Chen established Chen Tao, or the True Way, a religious movement that blended elements of Christianity, Buddhism, UFO conspiracy theories, and Taiwanese folk religion. That's a lot of stuff put together, isn't it? But I guess if you pick enough topics, you get people that'll believe it because it's got all these different elements. And every false religion seems to have Christianity twisted in there somehow, isn't it? Isn't that funny how that's like kind of the base of a lot of these false religions? It says, Chen preached that God would appear on U.S. television channel 18 on March 25th, 1988 to announce that he would descend to earth following week in a physical form identical to himself. Isn't that amazing? He's going to come down as himself. Following year, he prophesied millions of devil spirits together with massive flooding would result in a mass extinction of our human population. Followers would be spared by buying their way aboard spaceships disguised as clouds sent to rescue them. I wonder who he had to pay for the tickets. He probably had them all printed up. You know, you get one of these cloud spaceships and you get in and you fly away. December 21st, 2012 marked the end of the first great cycle of the Mayan long count calendar. Many misinterpreted this to mean an absolute end to the calendar, which tracked time continuously from the date 5125 years earlier, and doomsday predictions emerged. End of the world scenarios included the Earth colliding with an imaginary planet named Nibiru. So they made up this planet name. Giant solar flares and planetary alignment would cause massive tidal catastrophes and realignment of the Earth's axis. Preparations for the end of the world as we know it included a modern-day Noah's Ark built by a man in China and extensive sales of survival kits. Doesn't it seem funny that all these ends of the world end up buying something or selling something that goes along with it? But if we're going to collide with this planet, why are you going to jump on an ark? I mean, we're not going to be here if we collide. We're pretty much dead, so I don't know why they're buying tickets to get on this ark or for survival kits either. Sound pretty ridiculous, but how many people believed him, I wonder? All these different things, the end of the world's going to come, this is the date it's going to happen, how many times have been predicted, you know, this is the end, and then it's like, well, I miscalculated, now this is the end. Well, my calculation is still a little bit off, this is going to be the end now. Thing is, nobody knows when the end is going to be except God, right? He knows when it's going to happen. But today we see earthquakes and floods and tidal waves and all those things and wars happening, like in Israel and all these places that are happening. But we know this is not the end. And you say, well, how do you know it's not the end? Well, the scripture tells us. The first two verses of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple. And then he talks about the signs of the end times. Starting verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, a disciple came to him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered unto them, take heed, let no man lead you astray. So here he tells them what to look for. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall lead many astray. So one of the signs of the end times are people are going to come saying that they are the Christ. People are going to believe it, going to lead them astray. There's going to be imposters saying that they're him, that they're the deceivers, they're fake, they're liars, they're pretenders, and yet some will believe it. Some of that's happening. Not on a large scale, I don't think yet that somebody's claiming to be Christ or coming back, but it's going to happen at some point. And then he says, what's next? He says, and you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, you'll see that they'll be troubled, and these things must not, but don't, for these things must need to come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in diverse places. Any of that happening? wars and rumors of war, famines and earthquakes, that stuff's all happening. Kingdom against kingdom. Plenty of times in our past and continuing up to today, we've seen these things happening, haven't we? You think of the Gulf War, the Desert Storm, Ukraine, Israel. We've had earthquakes. We've had volcanoes erupting. We've had all this stuff, right, that is going on. We've seen famines. But this isn't the end. People say, this is the end of the world. This is the end. Well, it's not the end. It's not what's going to trigger Christ to come back. Then verse 8, but all these things are the beginning of travail or trial. So these things are just the beginning of trouble. It's not the end of it. It's just the starting of what's going to happen. Verse 9, then shall they deliver up to you tribulation and shall kill you, and you'll be hated for of all nations for my name's sake. We see in that today? Christians being persecuted, hated, killed. Not as much in this country yet, but in other countries especially, they're being killed for being a Christian. They're being hacked with machetes. They're being shot. They're being tortured. They're being all kinds of things just because they believe something different. And the funny thing is our nation, we talk about tolerance, don't we? But it's only tolerance by a certain group or for a certain thing that you believe. If you don't believe what supposedly everybody else believes, which isn't everybody else, then that's not tolerated. You can't have a Christian point of view and disagree calmly with somebody. That means you're against them, you hate them, and everything else. But they can do that against Christianity. So they're rising against Christians today. There's trouble, there's sufferings, there's hatred. They're going to be killed. It's happening all over the place. And I think it's going to get worse for us as we go along. For Christians here in the States, it's going to get worse for us too. But that's not the end. Verse 10, and then shall many stumble, shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. Do we see that happening today? People stumbling, falling, right? Delivering somebody up. All these different things that are happening in our society, in our government, in families, where people are betraying one another. For what? Sometimes for money, sometimes for power. Sometimes because they hate them, they're doing those kind of things to each other. And some people are losing their faith, thinking that God's not there. He doesn't care. He doesn't hear us. But we know he's with us all the time. We know he's here. He's listening to us. He hears our cries. That's not always his plan, though, because what happens on this earth isn't necessarily that important, even though we think it may be. Eternity is the important part. We may suffer here, have problems, have trials, struggles, pain and anguish, but we know eternity doesn't hold any of that for us. This is only a short time. Anybody ever go to the dentist and get a tooth drilled? But when it's done, it's done, hopefully, right? And you don't have the pain, you don't have the suffering for it, but you have to go through that pain sometimes to get the result that you want. And sometimes we go through pain here, and it makes us realize that God is there, that he cares for us, that he's stronger than whatever we're facing, whatever trouble or problem we're having. Verse 11, many false prophets shall arise and lead many astray. We see this all the time. People are eager to believe something, aren't they? They want to believe something. It's going to get better. It's going to be this. It's going to be this. This is the guy. This is the plan that I have to follow, whatever it may be. They proclaim that they're God or that they've heard from God. But if you look at their message, it's contrary to God's word. There's a group that talks about certain people not going to heaven. Well, I think if you accept Christ, you're going to heaven, right? That's what the Bible says. But they only believe maybe a certain number are going to go. I'm not going to name all the groups because you probably know what groups they are. A certain number are going to go. Or you're going to go to heaven and come back as another person. And then it's going to keep happening in a cycle and all these things. But that's not what the Bible tells us. It tells us if we believe in Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, then we're going to go to heaven. But usually it's a self-serving message, isn't it? Just like the ones we talked about when the end of the world is going to come. They all had something to gain, didn't they? They're all getting something out of it. Whether you're buying tickets to a cloud spaceship or survival kits or whatever it may be, there's an ulterior motive. It's not a pure motive. They're gaining something from it. And the result is hell. The result is you're still sinning. Verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall be multiplied, or that means sin, the love of many shall wax cold. There's going to be more sin, more things happening more often than we've seen in the past. It's going to keep getting worse and worse. Think of some of the atrocities that have happened overseas with babies being killed and beheaded. Who in their right mind can kill a baby or a child or kill a whole family for what reason? What are they gaining from it? Nothing. They're not really gaining anything from it except just being evil. How can you burn a child with a torch or a cigarette? For what reason? How do parents, in some cases, drown their kids? I mean, I can't even imagine that. How can somebody rape and murder innocent people? So there's no love in them. It's only hatred. It's only evil. I mean, the human mind can do all kinds of things. We're capable of all kinds of evil stuff, aren't we? When you look around, but we have a God that saves us, that keeps us from that kind of stuff, that helps us to not be bent in that direction. Then verse 13 says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So he says, endure. Go through it, right? With him, with help, with friends, with the church, with whatever you need to go through that issue you're going through. If you're doubting your belief in Christ, then talk to somebody. I don't know about this. I'm having a hard time right now. Instead of being the Lone Ranger, ask somebody for help. Ask God for help. And he says, in the end, you'll be saved. Keep with the faith. And verse 14, and this is the gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So here's the key passage right here, right? When is the end going to come? Well, it says right here. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all nations, and then the end shall come. It means every nation, every person in the world is going to hear the gospel message, and then the end is going to come. Do we know when that's going to be? No, we don't. Do we know how it's going to happen? No, we don't. Is it going to be radio? Is it going to be television? Is it going to be personal testimony? I don't know how it's going to happen. But it says when everybody has heard the word, then the end is going to come. And I don't think it's happened yet, has it? So what are we supposed to do knowing that's going to happen? We're supposed to be about our Father's business, which is what? It's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not in our own strength or our own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, asking God, help me do this. Help me share with somebody. I'm scared to death. I don't know what to say. I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm not sure I know what I'm going to say to this person. But you feel like I need to say something to them. You say, well, I'm sure glad God protected me today. And they may say, what are you talking about? Well, I was in this parking lot, and I was driving through, and this car backed right in front of me, and it didn't hit me. So I just thank God that he protected me. And maybe that's going to lead to a conversation of them saying to you, well, what do you mean? How is God protecting you? I don't see any God. No, but you can see the result of God, right? Like they say, I don't see gravity. You can see the result of gravity. There's all kinds of things. I don't see air, but you can feel the result of breathing air. So you can tell them those kind of things. But the enemy doesn't want you to do that. They don't want you to share good news. They don't want you to share good news, people. They don't want people to come to know him. They want to keep people bound with whatever they're bound with, whether it's an addiction or whatever it may be. They want to keep them bound in that addiction. They don't want them to find help. They don't want them to get out of that. They want them to stay in it. And maybe you're afraid if you say something, somebody's going to get mad at you. Did they ever get mad at Jesus? Right? They got mad at him. Sometimes you say, well, that's what I believe. It's okay to have an opinion today. People want us to believe it's not okay to have an opinion unless it's a certain opinion. Not okay to have a belief unless it's a certain belief, but we can believe in Christ because we know that's the right belief to have. And if they don't believe it, that's okay. You can say to them, well, that's okay if you don't believe it. I believe it. The thing that always bugs me is if you're an atheist, why are you mad at a Christian? Because they believe in something you don't believe exists. So why are you mad about that? I've never figured that one out, but yet they're still against Christianity because even they don't believe it, that there's a God. But we can ask God to give us the armor to protect us, to defend ourselves, so we can walk through life the way we're supposed to, so we can carry on with others. But even though all these things are happening, We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when the end is going to happen. We don't know when we're going to end, do we? We don't know when our life is going to be done. So you just try to live the best life you can while you can. And make as much influence to those around you as you can. But we know one thing. Everybody on the earth needs to hear the gospel. It's not our job to make him accept it. It's our job to present it and let them make their choice. Right? Sometimes we feel like, oh, I need to make them accept the Lord. Well, you can't make them, right? You're trying to make one of your kids do something? I mean, you might be able to force them over there to do it, but they're in their mind, they're not doing it, right? You can have your kids, you're going to church today, you're going to church, and they go. Then they get older, and they're like, yeah, they're not going. Well, you can't make them. You can pray for them. You can tell them what you did at church, why church is important. We have kids that don't go to church that were raised in church their whole life. We can't make them. We can say, I wish you guys were going. You guys really should be going to church. Those kind of things. But in the end, it's their choice. They need to see it's important to them. And then at some point, I'm sure they're going to see that it's important as their families get older. Matthew 24 continues. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So God's word's never going to pass away, even though they try to say, well, that's just a made-up story. That's just a good thing to hear. That's not really true. But we know according to the Bible, the things that have happened, the events that have happened, they've proven to be true. The prophecies that came true that were told thousands of years before Christ even came, that came true. But we need to be careful about what words we use, don't we? When we put the words out, you can never take them back. You ever been offended by somebody? You probably know in your mind exactly who that was and when that happened. Even though they said, I'm sorry, right? The words are important, what we say. Make sure we say the right words. And if you don't know what to say, if somebody asks you a question about the Bible and you don't know, don't just make up an answer. It's okay to say, I don't know, but let me find out and I'll get back with you. That's okay to say that because we don't know everything. It says, about the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For the days of before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day the ark was entered. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. I thought it was interesting to say even the Son doesn't know when it's going to happen. Only God knows when it's going to happen. So we can't predict it. We don't know when it's going to happen. We have no idea when it's going to happen, when he's coming back. We just need to be living every day as if it's going to be today, right? It could be today. It could be right now. It could be in 5 minutes. Who knows when it's going to be? We don't know. But the Bible says God knows Jesus is coming back. We look back at verse 6. This is what the Lord says to us. Ye be not troubled, for these things must needs to come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we see things happening like the war in Ukraine and Israel and earthquakes and fires and floods and all those things, and we tend to panic, don't we? You ever hear that story about Chicken Little? The sky is falling. Sometimes that's us, isn't it? We panic, we freak out. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. We don't need to worry, though, do we? Whatever happens, if your life is gone, you know where you're going to be. I can't tell you how you're going to get there. I don't know what the process is going to be. But you know where you're going to end up. So we don't need to freak out when all these things are going on. We need to do the best just to be calm and say, I know it's okay. I know God has my best interest. I know Jesus is real. I know he forgives and he saves. And I know heaven awaits me because I've accepted Christ in my life. Now is not time to panic. But there will be an end. I was researching for the message and found an article by Clarence Haynes. And this is what he said. When the Bible talks about the end of the world, I think it's important to define that statement, what that statement really means. A better way to think about the end of the world is to think about the end of the world as we know it. The Bible talks about the world, it could have two different connotations. In one sense, the world can refer to things we see, such as earth, sky, nature, and all the people and animals that inhabit it. This is what is referenced in the verse in Acts, when it says, God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. However, the world can also mean a system of thoughts, ideologies, behaviors that people engage in which oppose God's standards. This is what John wrote about. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, for the love of God is not in them. The Bible talks about the end of the world. It's talking about both things. It's talking about the physical world, and it's talking about those who oppose God, that that's going to end. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth, a new system. So what does the Bible say about the end of the world? There's a series of events that occur leading up to the end of the world. However, for this article, I'll focus on how it'll end. So he says, the end of the world will come decisively. It's not going to be a question like, oh, did it happen yet? I wonder if it happened. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a decisive thing where it actually, when it ends, you're going to know it ends. Romans 9 says, for the Lord will execute his sentence on the earth quickly and decisively. We talk about the earth ending. It's going to be God's final judgment. It's going to be clear, and we're going to know that it's the end. People will be judged. He talks about, remember the goats and the sheep? Those on his right and his left, he's going to know who's his and who's not his, who's going to heaven and who's not. 1 Thessalonians says, for you know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It means it's going to be suddenly. You're not going to be able to plan for it. You're not going to be able to say, well, it's coming in a few days. I'm going to be ready for it. You need to be ready for it for whenever it happens. The end of the world is going to come by fire. What was the first ending basically? It was by flood, right? The last one's by fire. 2 Peter 3. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear and roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. How's that going to happen? We don't know. We don't know. It's going to be a nuclear thing. It's going to be a planetary collision. We don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to end in fire. Everything's going to be destroyed, but there's also going to be a new beginning. 2 Peter 3 again says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speedy its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, isn't it? Some say it's going to be just a new creation of what was supposed to be in the beginning that they got messed up. We know we're going to have heavenly bodies that Jesus had, right? That he looked like himself, but he walked through things and he could do all kinds of stuff. And he didn't have to eat, or he didn't have any pain or suffering, any of those kind of things. But without question, the events are lining up. At some time, it's going to happen, so we need to make sure we're living the kind of life that we should. So the new year is upon us, isn't it? And you're going to see resolutions like, I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to spend time with family. I'm going to travel, get more sleep, read, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 2 months from now, those resolutions are going to go, right? Go to the gym probably at January 2nd, it'll be packed. All these people are... Go there a month later, like, hey, where did Fred go? Where'd Jeff go? Where'd Bill go? Oh, you don't see him anymore, right? It's not just the resolution you need to make, it's a determination you need to make. I'm determined to do this. I'm resolved. A resolution means you're resolved. It means something you're really going to do purposely. We don't make resolutions, right? We just make whims. Oh, I think I'll do this. I think I'll do that. And we don't ever do them. Just pick one thing that you know God wants you to do and do the one thing. Right? Don't try to pick all these. I'm going to get more sleep. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And by the end, you're just exhausted because you can't do everything. Pick one thing and do it well. Hopefully what our churches are doing, picking things we do well and not trying to do everything everybody else is doing. We can't do everything everybody's doing. We got to see where we fit in and do what God wants us to do where we are. That's what he wants us to do. So what do you resolve to do in this next year, knowing the end of the world is coming at some point? I think we should resolve to live a life that glorifies the Lord and be a living witness whenever the opportunity arises. That'd be a good resolution, wouldn't it? Live for the Lord the best you can, wherever you are, every day. So we know it's not the end, but we know the end is coming, and we should live like it could happen today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to hear your word, to know, we know what's going to happen. You told us the end of the story. The earth is going to be destroyed by fire, but you're going to give us a new one, new earth, a new body. And we thank you for that. We ask you would help us to live a life worthy of the calling you've given us, be witnesses for you no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, that others can see that you're real. Also help us to be a living testimony that speaks. Not just say they can see my life, but let them see our life and hear our words. Help us to be faithful. Give us strength through hard times. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Isaiah says, Isaiah instructs us to wait on the Lord, and he will shed light on the path ahead, give us peace about it. Waiting is sometimes hard to do, isn't it? We get a little perturbed when the traffic light just hangs on, you know? But when we wait on the Lord, the Bible also says we will mount up with wings like eagles, run, not grow weary, walk, and not faint. That's the promise of the Lord, and he will direct our paths. Let's, if you will, please, let's stand together and sing, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. One another on those paths. Let's be encouragers to one another. Amen. And might want to call somebody and say Happy New Year or whatever. Or throw a firecracker and no, don't do that. So just have a good time. Be safe, everyone. God bless. Thank you.